manipulate these proceedings, and the court order did not apply to him. All of this was a problem for me because court is one of those places where facts still matter. And prosecutors in Manhattan, apparently another place where facts and crime still matter, effectively pardon-proofing Manafort's sentence moments after Judge Jackson issued her sentence. The Manhattan DA indicted Manafort on 16 counts of fraud and conspiracy. And if you need a more glaring example of how far we are operating from normal, pardon-proofing a convicted liar, cheat, and perpetrator of fraud from the President of the United States is what happened today.
Well, I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. And, you know, he worked for Ronald Reagan very successfully. He worked for John McCain. He worked for Bob Dole and many others for many years. And I feel badly for him.
Will you pardon Paul Manafort?
I have not even given it a thought as of this moment. It's not something that's right now in my mind. I do feel badly for Paul Manafort.
We have Donald Trump's signed checks revealed by Michael Cohen for hush money payments that he confessed were crimes. We have the House Oversight Chairman saying they need testimony now from Trump attorneys about some of those payments. And then New York prosecutors saying the Trump Organization falsely accounted for the payments as, quote, legal expenses. Cohen famously arranged the payment from Donald Trump to Stormy Daniels for $130,000, Trump's company reimbursing him with a series of payments. Now, that may not be a crime on its own, but it could be evidence in a wider case against President Trump.
The Southern District of New York may be sitting there with Trump's income tax returns. And what's going on when Trump paid Cohen to reimburse him for the payments to Stormy Daniels, he listed that as a retainer and presumably deducted those payments.
But is this like, are you basically imagining an Al Capone situation where after everything that's happened, he gets in trouble for tax deductions?
Perhaps.
Al Capone was jailed for tax fraud. We know Donald Trump knows all about Al Capone. In fact, that's who he compared Paul Manafort to.
With Paul Manafort, who really is a nice man, you look at what's going on with him, it's like Al Capone.
2005 tax case.
Or a case that I guess
hours.
Is very old. It's just a sad thing. It's a very sad thing for our country to see this.
It's like Al Capone. It's like my campaign manager's like a convicted gangster. This is the defense.
Al Capone.
We have no Mr. Capone.
I don't get him.
We have no Mr. Capone.
I said.
Something you want here? I don't care.
You don't care.
Come out here, Capone. You want to fight? You want to fight you and me right here? That's it. Come on. Somebody, you afraid to come out from behind your men? You afraid to stand up for yourself?
You want to do it now?
No.
You want to
yeah.
go out mad now?
Come on, you can't, son of a...
What?
Easy.
You talk to me like that in front of my son? You and your family.
You got nothing. You got a lot of talk in the bed. You're here because you got nothing. You got nothing in court. You don't got the bookkeeper. You got nothing. Nothing. And if you were a man, you would have done it now. You don't got a thing, you punk.
I can only tell you one thing. Again, that was proven today. No collusion. There's no collusion. There's no collusion. And there hasn't been collusion. And it was all a big hoax.
If there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. It just doesn't work that way.
President Donald Trump's rhetoric about the Russia investigation might seem unprecedented. But over 40 years ago, President Richard Nixon used similar tactics to defend himself against Watergate.
I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
There are many differences. Trump is not Nixon. And the Russia investigation is not Watergate. But both scandals led to the departure of senior officials, dozens of criminal charges, and allegations of a cover-up.
I had no prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in.
Nixon, much like Trump, always relished the opportunity to publicly proclaim his innocence.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
When you talk about innocent, I am truly not involved in any form of collusion with Russia. Believe me, that's the last thing I can think of to be involved in.
President Nixon touted his cooperation with investigators, as did President Trump.
As far as the investigation, nobody has ever been more transparent than I have instructed our lawyers. Be totally transparent. I believe we've given them 1.4 million pages of documents.
I have provided to the special prosecutor voluntarily a great deal of material. I believe that I have provided all the material that he needs to conclude his investigations and to proceed to prosecute the guilty and to clear the innocent.
Both presidents later shifted their approach and went on the attack. They argued that the probes distracted from the real issues, and they distanced themselves from key players wrapped up in the investigation.
I first learned from news reports of the Watergate break-in. I was appalled at this senseless, illegal action.
It doesn't implicate me in any way. There was no collusion, there was no obstruction, there was no nothing.
But now we must move on from Watergate to the business of the people. And the business of the people is continuing with the initiatives we began in the first administration.
They ought to get to the end of it because I think the American public is sick of it.
Both Nixon and Trump fired the people overseeing their respective investigations, Archibald Cox and James Comey, raising questions of obstruction of justice.
In all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice.
There was no obstruction. I mean, unless you call obstruction the fact that I fight back, I do fight back. I really fight back. I mean, if you call that obstruction, that's fine.
The Twilight Bite with a cast iron mask, the Antichrist with a 5 o'clock shadow, Tony Dick is sick with prickly paranoia. He's a president, he's a great imposter, he's 1,000 years old, but he looks pretty good for a prehistoric telepathic fossil. He's a wicked man with an evil plan, and a star for nothing that's too good his way.
Dermis, now she stands resplendent in a plain cloth coat as a mummified remains are wheeled around. Paul's cannibal pals, they cook the best, but his barbecues ever make the news. Not the White House backyard baby roast fiestas. And the Shire's best, and his apron says on scarlet letters, hail to the chef.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You're ready.
All right. I give you Vern Cross and his men.
I like that song right there. Put it up a little bit. That's a good song. Hello, everybody. The Honorable Slay Diddy will walk in any moment because he loves to make an appearance. We are the Drive Time Radio Show, and... Okay. Hey.
Yeah, go right there.
We're going to work through this. So, first of all, 8 years at WGXC, but this is our first actual appearance here. I think we've been here for 5.5, maybe 6 years. And the thing about WGXC for us is that this show is a platform for a lot of people that don't have a way to be heard. So when we do the Drive Time Radio show, we know we don't get paid, but it really means a lot to us. And the reason why it means a lot to us is that we give people an opportunity to be heard. We've dealt with suicide. We dealt with domestic violence. We dealt with across the board. So I just say to all the other programmers, you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. And just keep working hard. And thank you for being a part of WGXC. Thank you to Lynn and Tom and Neva and everybody that believed in us, because Drive Time didn't start as Drive Time. We started out as Barbershop Talks. Like, we were in a barbershop and we were just talking, but we evolved to Drive Time. And right now, I'll tell you guys, if you don't know, right now we have listeners from Detroit that are listening on a regular basis calling in. We have listeners from Alabama that are calling in on a regular basis. We have listeners from Hawaii that are calling in. And also, the big part of that is that whatever we share, they share. So we're a team. We're a family. So when we share stuff, they share it. And we just want to say thank you to all you guys for allowing us to have this opportunity to use this platform for the community. So thank you, Tom, my guy, Ray. So a long time ago, me and Lynn had sat down, and I thought that it would be really cool to have some kind of awards. And when I said awards, it was only about pushing people to the next level. Because again, you think about it, like, this is volunteer. So a lot of times when you volunteer, you might just show up, do your shift, and leave. So I felt like, okay, maybe we should have our peers vote to see who is doing whatever is good or bad. So we came up with, Lynn came up with some good stuff. And Tom and Rainier, they're going to announce them. But I just want to thank everybody for even being here. And a super, super shout out to the OG himself, Alan Skerritt. I'm telling you, Drive Time would not be Drive Time without that man right there. And Ellen, we love you, Ellen. Ellen, we listen on Thursday just so that we can protect you from Tom, because a lot of times he can be so terrible, but we know you can handle yourself. We love you, Ellen. All right, guys, let's announce these awards. All right, you take that one.
Okay.
All right, not too close, Tom.
No. What's the matter?
You want to go for the first one?
I think.
No, I mean, after hearing that you're a bully, I'm not so sure. Yeah. I don't feel safe.
Yeah. I understand that.
You want to take the first one?
Sure. Okay. Approximately 30 of our programmers responded to this survey. The favorite music or sound show broadcast live or locally at the station. The winner is Neva Wartell's Music for the Masses! Woo, woo, woo! Which is, by the way, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. every Sunday. And interestingly enough, the runner-up was the show right before hers, The Jazz Disturbance of Cheryl Kay! Woo! And, of course, all the other great shows got mentioned, too.
All right, for the next award, favorite cultural or public affairs show broadcast live or locally produced at WGXC. Please forgive me if I don't pronounce this correctly. Lee Tan, hosted by Carlene Murphy and Gregory Sinan, 4 p.m. on Sundays. Yes, yes. And, of course, close behind was Donald Drum Theater, produced by Tom Rowe, 3 p.m. Thursday and 9 a.m. on Saturdays.
This one's interesting. This might be a little bit like that La La Land moonlighting thing. You'll get that joke later. Favorite WGXC morning or afternoon show? I'm sad to say the winner is the Drive Time Show with Vern Cross, Kamau Johnson, and Raina Blue. But the runner-up was a tie between the Thursday Show with Ellen Thurston and Kieran Riley's Rascal Roundup every Monday.
I felt a slither of hatred there.
I felt jealousy.
Next, we have the most creative show presented on WGXC according to WGXC programmers. Key, according to programmers. It's a tie
not
between
open to the public.
It's a tie between Battlefield Earth, hosted by Dan Seward at 10 p.m. Tuesdays, and Donald Drum Theater, produced by Tom Rowe, 3 p.m. Thursdays and 9 a.m. Saturdays.
By the way, the runner-up was a Thursday afternoon show. Those two are a stitch.
They're all right.
We want to announce Donald Drum Theater is ending soon. Right?
We hope. Someone said, those two are always finding creative ways to speak directly into the microphone. Okay, the show on WGXC that you never miss and why. Sadly, there was no consensus. And that's not a surprise. A lot of people skip this question. But there's a list. We're talking Rancho, Thatchmo, Snack Point, Charlie, Background Briefing, Bound by Books, one of my faves, Jazz Disturbance, Democracy Now!, The Morning Show. Snow cancellations. Come on. Woo! 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 All together now.
All righty. So, name the WGXC host you would most like to hang out with and why. Again, there was no consensus. So the list goes: Maria Manhattan and Tony Markham, so charming and personable. Someone from Drive Time. Thank you, whoever said that. The Magic Stranger, because he's a stranger. Kieran Riley, because I like him. Kim Singletary, she's always so positive. Neva Wartell, because she's knowledgeable and cool. Dan Seward, but they didn't give a reason. Philip Grant, what a voice. Tom Smith of REM, REO, Indigo, Chicago. And excluding hosts I have already hung out with, maybe the one size guy because he tastes is excellent. That was a little strange. To say the least.
Okay, the most remarkable on-air moment heard on WGXC last year. The winner was the Wave Farm 2018 Audio Buffet. But it was hard to choose. Maybe the day when guest Garrett Roach and friends on Kieran's show, and the craziness of a bunch of people talking at once, plus Kieran's music bed. Community talk turned into the avant-garde. The Wednesday afternoon show. You guys talked about owning cats? I thought it was just me and Ellen.
Good old O'Reo.
Go ahead. Read that. I want to explain myself.
You better. It says Wednesday afternoon show when the host talked about owning cats. Or A-O.
Well, yeah.
Oreo.
So my cat is named Oreo. But the kids changed the name to Oreo. So one thing that we do on our show is that we never talk about what we're going to talk about. We'll pass on the topics, but we won't have a discussion. So everything is live for us. So when I mentioned that I changed the cat's name from Oreo to Oreo, the Honorable Slate Diddy had a field day with this, and he just kept going on and on and on and on. And I think Oreo is a pretty cool name for a cat, you know. And come to find out, Ray has cats, too.
Yes.
You do have cats, bro.
They don't have any cool names, though.
Yeah, but you have cats. Go ahead, Tom.
One of the other moments was Neva Wartell's moving tribute to the departed Zimbabwean singer Tuku. And another famous moment when John Faso evaded the questions on something to talk about.
Oh. Did he evade the questions or did they ask them? I'm sorry. Something to Talk About is no longer on. It is now Hollering at Holly, and she comes on every Tuesday, and it's a great show.
Oh,
so
okay.
I can say that because that show's not on anymore.
Your turn.
That's the last one, right? No, I think that was the last page.
I got more pages.
You do?
Oh, there we go.
Two more.
The most unpredictable host on WGXC. By a landslide, Dan Seward of Battlefield Earth.
And lastly, the show or host no longer on the air that you miss most. Now, the sad note is Christina Malisoff, the late departed Christina Malisoff, who started the show Tell It Like It Is. And also, on a more positive note, The Schomer Show with Karen Schomer. She might be back. She might be back. And that's it. Can I have your attention, please? This is the highlight of tonight's event. Now, Dan talked about most of us showing up for our shows snarling. Well, there's one programmer who never snarls. She is the Grand Dame of WGXC. She is the woman without whom I would have no point. Yeah, except for a pointy head, yeah. She is the woman who has made Hudson more meaningful to me personally and to a lot of you out there, because she's been engaged and active in this community from the moment she arrived. I promised Ellen I wouldn't make her cry. Now, most of you might think that would be like being mean to her, but it's not, because Ellen knows that I adore her. I worship her. She's one of the few women in my life that I just can't live without. And she's incredibly funny. You know, people get mad at me sometimes for my repartee, or as Ellen would call it, banter with Ellen. But as my mother would say, if she would stop laughing at me, I would stop doing it. You're supposed to laugh at that. Anyway, enough about that. Ellen has interviewed so many people on our station. I have a list here. It's 3 pages long and it's incomplete. Artists, writers, but not just famous people. Interestingly enough, the recently departed Carolee Schneeman, Ellen interviewed. She interviewed writers like Rosie Schapp, Ara Bleckman, Elaine Kozrova, and the list goes on. But that's not just about that. It's about interviewing everyday people, too. We interview anybody. We pull them in off the streets. And Ellen continually rises to the occasion, because Ellen has that greatest thing of all, empathy and a love of people. Don't say, oh, please stop, because I am not going to stop. You are the greatest. I've always said you're my mentor in all things Hudson. So, Ellen, this event is to honor you. And I would ask you to all stand and cheer for Ellen Thurston. Ellen! 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 Come on. Come on. You want to come over here?
Don't forget, you did those interviews as well. I mean, how can you have a show with two people with only one of them, you know, doing the work? Oh, dear. No, and I do say, please don't make me cry, because... You know, most of the people here, or most of the WGXC people here, I should say, have been with the station for a very long time as well. I mean, Alan Skerritt practically uttered the first words to be broadcast by WGXC, and many other people that could be named. So... But I wanted to say a little bit about how I got involved in radio, if that's okay. Before you give me the gold watch. By the way, how much do you think that watch is worth if I cash it in? All right. Oh, I see. How about relax? Okay. I grew up with radio. Now I've given away my age. Oh, dear. There was no television when I was growing up. There was just radio, that big console that sat in the living room, and you could sit down on the rug in front of it and listen to people from all places. It was a wonderful thing. One of the things I wanted to say is that at one point, somebody would come on the radio and say, here is Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra. And I had the vision of one man named Tommy and this thing called an orchestra that he played, and out came music. So radio stimulates the imagination, not just of children, but that was me. I remember a program on Saturday called Let's Pretend, and every time I talk about it, no one seems to have ever heard of it. Neva is waving her head, and someone else in the back of the room, but I can remember this voice coming on and say, how shall we travel this morning, children? On the backs of roaring lions. Ah! I'm not a very good lion, but I can practice. There are soap operas, of course. The girl from the Ozarks who married Lord Brentworth or whatever. I used to listen to that soap opera when I came home from school for lunch. The school was kind of kitty corner across the road from where we lived, so I was allowed to come home for lunch, and there was always a soap opera on the radio. We haven't had any soap operas, have we? The field is wide open, folks. Never mind. There are times on the Thursday afternoon show when I've laughed so hard that I could not go on. I really couldn't. I would call it hysteria. And I occasionally had to leave the studio. But those times, they're kind of past, I think. I mean, you're still funny, Tom, but it's... Anyway, we have a good laugh and a good time. Oh, there's the Breakfast Clubbers. Does anybody remember that show? I remember it only from spending a week with my cousins at a skinny Atlas Lake, and every morning we would get up, and there on the radio would be the Breakfast Clubbers. Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers, we're here to greet you. And at a certain point, you had to leave your cornflakes, stand up, and march and parade around the breakfast table, and come back to your soggy cornflakes. But it was a great show, too. And one could go on and on. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, of course, was the only president that I knew at that time. I lived among Republicans until I moved to New York, and then everything changed. I still have my Thomas E. Dewey pin. And no, Tom, I'm not giving it up. So radio brought us a lot. Guy Lombardo, every New Year's Eve. Phil Spitalmy and his all-girl orchestra. Remember that? No, you're all too young. Okay. So... I don't know what to say except that I've had a wonderful time being on the radio, playing at radio. I remember saying to Tom Rowe, we're all pretending that we know what we're doing. But we had a lot of fun doing it. So thank you for all being here and being part of the radio station. The beat goes on.
Hello, I'm Neil Allen from Hudson, New York. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
Tune in on St. Patrick's Day. Tony Fallon will be live with the Irish show from Acra at 8 p.m. on the radio. St. Patrick's Day night, 8 p.m. on 90.7 FM. Tune in, Tony Fallon and the Irish show.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Science of Aesthetics Laser and Med Spa, offering a wide variety of multifaceted cosmetic services at 810 Union Street in Hudson. Consultations are available. Information at 518-697-5390 and scienceofaesthetics.net.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tom Daggett of Denver, Colorado. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that four Columbia County villages hold elections for trustees and mayors on Tuesday, March 19th. Philmont and Chatham are the only village with candidates competing for positions, while in Kinderhook and Valencia, candidates are running unopposed. The Columbia County Board of Elections is supervising the village elections in Chatham, while Kinderhook, Philmont, and Valencia village officials supervise their own elections. Polls are open from noon to 9 p.m. In Chatham, John Howe is running without opposition for mayor. Current trustee Peter Minahan, who was appointed to his seat to fill a vacancy, is running for one of two seats, as are Jamie Boehm and Jody Russell. Melanie Spock and Joseph Cerami are seeking the available one-year term as trustee. Voting in Chatham is at the Tracy Memorial Building, 77 Main Street. In Philmont, Mayor Charles Skip Speed is up against Town Supervisor Robin Andrews for a two-year term as mayor. Three candidates are up for two trustee seats in Philmont. Incumbent Douglas Cropper and Larry Ostrander and Heath Iverson are vying for two-year terms. Voting is in the Village Hall, 124 Main Street. In Kinderhook, David Flattery and Dale R. Lizer are running for two trustee seats, which are two-year terms. Voting is in Village Hall, 6 Chatham Street. In Valencia, Mayor Diane Argyle and incumbent trustee Fred Bevins and Larry Ellaby are all unopposed for re-election for two-year terms in the positions they now hold. Voting in Valencia is at the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building on Church Street. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. The Greene County Board of Elections holds village elections in Athens, Catskill, Coxsackie, and Tannersville March 19th from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. In Athens, three candidates are running for mayor: Stephen L. Bradidich on the Democratic and Independence lines, Peter Alberti on the Republican line, and Norman A. Benjamin Jr. on the Norman Benjamin line. Democrats Joshua B. Lipsman and Amy Sarigo, also on the independent line, are up against Republican Shannon A. Spinner and Robert A. Scott. In Catskill, Vincent J. Seeley and Natasha L. Law are on the Democratic and Independence lines for trustees against Stanley R. Duchesne and Daniel M. Shanley Jr. on the Republican and Constitution lines. Republican Richard C. Paolino Jr. is unopposed to town justice. In Coxsackie, there are no contests, just three candidates. Republican Mark R. Evans is the only candidate for mayor, and Democrat Donald A. Doust and Republican Stephen B. Hans are the only candidates for the two trustee positions. In Tannersville, two candidates from the Right Choice Party, Clifton Thompson and John F. Palamo Sr., take on David P. Cashman and Gregory Landers, who are Democrats, for two seats. Landers is also on the Watchful Eye line. Lee E. McGonigal is running unopposed for mayor again on the Democratic and Watchful Eye lines. Noreen M. Valchich, a Democrat, is the only candidate for town justice.
Here's the congressional report for New York's 19th congressional district and Representative Antonio Delgado. The website 538.com reports that so far Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 0% of the time. Delgado voted March 14th, quote, expressing the sense of Congress that the report of Special Counsel Mueller should be made available to the public and to Congress, unquote. This was one of those rare bipartisan votes. It passed 420-0, with four representatives voting present and seven not voting.
Melanie Lekachevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. John Mokzicki, superintendent of the Water and Wastewater Department of the town of Greenport, testified last week in Washington, D.C. at a Transportation and Infrastructure Committee hearing on rural infrastructure needs. Mokzicki responded to questions posed by U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado about the challenges faced by small rural communities like Greenport when it comes to maintaining and upgrading their water infrastructure. Mokzicki is an expert on rural water infrastructure and has led numerous projects in Greenport, including the latest project that will replace 14,000 feet of pipe in the town. He said small communities face the same kinds of infrastructure problems that larger municipalities do, but have trouble financing the solutions. Mokzicki told the committee that federal funding has gone a long way to curb some of the infrastructure expenses for residents in Greenport. He cited as an example a project upgrading Greenport's wastewater treatment facility, a project that came with a $9.5 million price tag, and by the time the 30-year loan was paid off, it would have cost the town $17 million. Federal funds helped defray the cost. Mokzicki said, and I quote, "We were fortunate. We will end up spending about $4 million for that same plant, which made it something our community was able to afford. We could never have afforded it without that help. We were very fortunate to get a zero-interest loan, and we were extremely fortunate to get half-loan forgiveness," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Of course, especially thank Mr. Mokzicki for making the trip from upstate to tell the folks here in D.C. about the needs of rural communities. Now, you've talked about technical assistance for small and rural communities and how important it is to help with complying with the Clean Water Act and assessing the state's revolving funds. Can you explain how this works specifically and how has Greenport, I know you've talked about a little bit of this earlier with the $75,000 grant, has benefited from technical assistance?
Okay, thank you. We work with Rural Water quite a bit. They've helped us with our clean water revolving fund loans. They've helped us with contacts with people. They've helped guide us on how to pursue this. We're a small rural community. We don't have anyone on staff who does this. We either have to hire an engineer or we have to go to someone like Rural Water to help guide us through it. And we have a lot of the same problems that the large communities do, where you do have to go to a number of different funding sources and see if you can get funding in order to be able to do your projects. And, you know, without the money from the revolving loan fund, we could not do a lot of these projects. We just simply couldn't afford them. With the American Resource and Recovery Act money that we received with our wastewater plant, we were under consent order. We were looking at a $9.5 million bill. If we had self-financed it, we would have spent $17 million over the 30 years of the loan. We were fortunate. We were going to end up spending roughly around $4 million for that same plant, which made it something that our community was able to afford. We would not have been able to afford it without that help. We were very fortunate to get a zero interest loan. We're extremely fortunate to get half loan forgiveness. That also allowed us to turn around and do another water project afterwards that badly needed to be done. We had 50 water breaks a year. That work needed to be done. There's no way we would have been able to do both. It just would have been impossible for our community. We can't afford it. We still have a lot of work left to do. We need to upgrade our pump system. We need to upgrade our transmission system. There's a lot of money still left on the table, and hopefully with the SRF money, we'll be able to do that. We have been raising rates. We've been trying to keep them from getting too extreme because our residents just can't afford it. We have a lot of seniors. We used to have a lot of industry in our area.
Yes.
And that's basically what paid for most of the infrastructure to go in the first place. But most of that is gone now.
Right.
And the businesses that we do have are not the type that really participate in the community in the same way that the industry and the factories that were there before used to participate. It's a lot of retail, a lot of small stores, but they don't have the kind of resources and funds to support the infrastructure like some of the larger businesses that we had in the past did. So,
yeah, and I appreciate all of that. And to follow up, piggyback on a comment or a question from one of my colleagues earlier on the distinction between public and private action and the role that some might believe private actors are better suited to in terms of, or suited for in terms of addressing these scenarios. And I have often found that absent a population center, a dense population center that can function as a basis for achieving profit in some way, shape, or form, rural communities are marginalized as a result because private actors don't have the incentive to invest in these communities. And one would therefore hope that in promoting the general welfare and promoting the public good, as is our responsibility, as detailed in the Constitution, that the government would at that point deem it appropriate to leave no one behind. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Thank you.
Hudson High School announced March 7th that Representative Antonio Delgado will be the school's commencement address speaker at graduation ceremonies June 28th. Delgado is a first-term legislator who has held 11 town hall meetings since taking office in January. This week, on March 19th, Delgado holds an interactive federal budget workshop at 4 p.m. at the Professional Academic Center at Columbia Green Community College in Hudson.
This is Brian DeWan. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
And now we're joined by Terrence Lynch of the Marble Rock House. That's what it's called?
That's what it's called.
You guys are opening in Leeds this weekend?
1147 Main Street, Leeds, yes, Friday night.
So you're right there on Main Street. I mean, if you're in Leeds, you're right. How far are you from the post office?
We're right next door.
Ah, so okay. There's your landmark.
Don't blink.
And the building is, tell us about the building. It's been there a long time.
The building's been there since late 1800s. It was the Hotel St. George. Then it was the Gilfeathers Sligo Hotel. And then O'Brien's Sligo Hotel. And sat dormant for a little while in a childhood friend of mine, Neil Murphy, bought it. His father actually worked there through the last two owners. So we washed dishes there. We worked at the Irish festivals there as kids. And it's special doing it together with him.
And well, so tell us, what is the, you're going to have music. What is it going
to
be like?
The Marble Rock House is a lot. It's a homage to our area, our region. Marble Rock is a legendary swimming hole down behind the bar. It's
the place behind the post office?
Exactly. Yeah, there's an old road that goes down there, and people have been swimming.
Everybody's
there.
Been down there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's first and foremost a venue. We're going to have live music, eventually hoping to have it 3-4 days a week. In April, we'll be probably starting an open mic on Thursdays, but definitely trying to bring great live music to the area.
And what kinds of music?
All kinds. That's first and foremost, trying to be as eclectic as possible. There'll be a lot of funk. There'll be a lot of reggae. That's for sure.
And I guess this weekend there'll be a lot of Irish music.
There'll be a lot of Irish music.
It's St. Patrick's Day on Sunday. You're opening on a busy weekend.
Friday night, we're calling our community welcome. We're not going to have a band. We want to be able to talk to people and introduce the place, but full bar and full menu will be running. On Saturday, we're doing a tribute to Irish pop and rock, where we'll be covering some Thin Lizzy, some U2, some Van Morrison, even a couple House of Pain tunes.
So it's a good weekend to come out and see what the place is like. And you have something on Sunday, on actual St. Patrick's Day, too?
I do on Sunday. Saturday night, though, I have a band full of killers. Local legend Brian Goss on guitar, Suk Cerullo, Aaron Johnson, and Jesse Murphy from the Brazilian Girls. They've been on tour with David Byrne. Can't believe I have them here for this show.
Yeah, what are they doing? They have a place up here? Or what?
They all just moved upstate, a lot of them. We're real fortunate to have so many professional musicians in the area, guys I've known for years, that on their off nights, I'm going to be looking to keep them busy. So
it's kind of the Colony Cafe in Woodstock's got a kind of similar vibe. You're going to be similar like that? It's going to be like Helsinki a little bit? It's going to be, what, you know?
Very similar, but also kind of bringing our own thing to it. Like, however, it's also a true pub, but like in the backyard, we're going to have, starting in May, we're going to have a grand opening of our backyard with bocce ball and shuffleboard and cornhole and stuff like that.
So there's a courtyard back there? There's some outdoor space?
It's a work in progress right now, but...
well, I'm sure it's frozen over and no one wants to be out there now, right?
Exactly. Got to make it fun first.
And there's Mexican food?
Yeah, taco-centric menu. We're going to try to keep it simple and focused. Tacos, quesadillas, street corn, bunch of fun chips and appetizers, pulled pork, brisket, pulled chicken, all that kind of good stuff.
Sounds great.
Veggie options.
So I guess there is a need from the musician's point of view, because there's lots of musicians, not just in Greene County, but in Columbia County, Ulster, Dutchess, all around Western Mass. You've got a lot to choose from. I guess the question is more, are there going to be audiences? You think people are going to show up to you? I guess you're doing some things a little different, like the music's earlier in the evening.
Shows start at 8 o'clock, 8 to 11 on Friday and Saturday nights. Then from like 11 to 1, we're going to have dance music, where I'm hoping it's going to be like a hybrid of DJ or electronic, but also... implementing live instruments, horns and percussion and stuff with that. And I definitely believe if I build it, they will come. It's been getting such a great response already. And, you know, Club Helsinki is an awesome venue, but I feel like they don't do a lot of consistent shows. And like the High Low and Catskill, they've been doing shows. And just, it seems like people in our area are at night, you know, we have a bunch of new restaurants and bars in the area and people are psyched. And then it gets to be about 10 o'clock and they're like, okay, what do we do now? So we're trying to answer the call.
And Catskill seems to be filling up more and more with new businesses. Is Leeds similarly expanding, improving?
Very much so. I grew up actually in the decline of a great resort town. You know, I didn't know it at the time, but our town was full of resorts and boarding houses and all kinds of fun stuff. But now it's so cool to see there's the Heartland Coffee Shop, which is a great artist who has a studio in there, and her husband Nick is a sound engineer. He's got a little studio in his bungalow. There's a new bakery. You got Betty's Diner, which is great, and the Inn at Leeds, which is an institution. But there's also a new yoga studio. There's a new art gallery. And
Gracie's came in two years ago now. How long has Gracie's been there?
A couple of years, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's even farther away from Main Street. All the other things you're talking about are mostly on Main Street?
They're a stone's throw, you know. It's cool that it's this like funky little enclave, and I just love all the other businesses that are there. And I think we're going to add to it, and I look forward to kind of promoting our area as a destination. You could spend a whole day in Leeds between the swimming holes and coffee and meals and outdoor games and music, you know.
And so you've got a big lineup of tell us about some of the bands that are coming through in the next couple weeks.
So after the Saturday night fun show on Sunday on St. Patrick's Day, we're having live traditional music from 2 in the afternoon till 7. I have some amazing traditional players, instrumental players, Billy McComiskey. He's played at the White House for St. Patrick's Day. He's actually turned down an invitation to the White House. But Noel Higgins, some great players. And then there's also a band called Dram. They do a lot of like pogues and fun stuff like that. Then we have our grand opening next week with the Big Takeover, awesome reggae ska rock steady band, Jamaican Chick, singing. They're incredible.
They're Ulster County based, is that right?
They're like at a, like Woodstock. Manuel Quintana, local drum legend, plays with them. He played in my band Conehead Buddha the last time around. And the next night, which I heard you just plug before on my way here, Peterhead and Pitchfork Militia.
Yeah, we've got some songs queued up that maybe we'll get to hear after you go.
I feel like they are like the spawn of David Lynch and Primus.
From up in Palinville, right?
Palinville, yeah, mountaintop area. If anyone hasn't seen Peterhead and Pitchfork Militia, it's not to be missed. That's on the 23rd. And then we have a bunch of great shows. The Rough Shapes.
They're from Saugerties. Yeah. They're kind of a surf band.
Surf rock band. Dr. John, the Love Prophets. They're a reggae band. This band Honker. They're kind of actually a funky Primus band. They were members of a band called Yoke out of Binghamton. Kind of like this jazz punk type stuff. A lot of fun.
And so what nights of the week are, is there usually going to be music? Is it always the same nights, or is it going to depend on what bands are in town and things like that?
So for the rest of March, we're trying to keep it simple and focused and learn our way. We'll be open just Friday. And after this Sunday, we'll be open just Friday and Saturday for the next two weekends. Starting in April, we'll expand to Thursday through Sunday. I'll be doing an open mic on Thursdays, always live music on Friday and Saturdays, and then Sundays where it'll probably be something a little more laid back, and eventually we want to expand into a brunch where we want to start doing a Beatles brunch.
On Sunday afternoons or Sunday brunch time, I guess?
Brunch time, exactly.
And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Terrence Lynch from the Marble Rock, am I saying that right? The Marble Rock House Club?
The Marble Rock House, yeah.
Marble Rock House, and that that's opening this weekend in Leeds. A new music club and Mexican restaurant and bar pub for the area. Tell us about your background, because you're a local musician.
I am. I was in a band called Conehead Buddha. My first stint was about 9 years with the band, and then we all kind of got into some other projects. I had a band called Lynch, and then I moved right down the street from Chris Fisher, the lead singer from Conehead Buddha, and we formed a new band called Mouse A Fun that kind of morphed back into Conehead Buddha, and we put out two more albums after that.
What instrument do you play?
I play trumpet and percussion and sing and half rap.
And so you're booking the shows, and your partner, the owner, is what is his name again?
Neil Murphy.
Neil Murphy. And is he a local musician too, or what is his background?
Nope. I'm the operating partner. He's the owner, and we're childhood friends. We were in a crib together. We're both first generation sons of Ireland, and when he bought the place, he told me he had me in mind to do something there. And he's had chefs talk to him. He's had a bunch of other people interested in doing something with him there. But he said he wanted the place to be fun and a place for everybody. And so that's why he asked me twice, and then he asked me a third time and said, this is the last time I'm going to ask you. So I had to jump on it and to do it in a place that's so special to me growing up there. You know, we both grew up on two streets with the woods connecting our backyards.
Wow.
So we're looking to continue the fun.
And where do people go to find out information? Is there a website?
Yep, themarblerockhouse.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. I'd like to send a special shout out to a special little lady and also say hi to my wife.
All right. And is there anything else people should know about the place bands should get in touch with you, or if they want to play, how does that work?
Yep, booking at Marble Rock House. We are trying to do, mostly original music and tributes, So, we're trying to have bands not come back for more than 6 to 8 weeks, and we're trying to always keep it fresh and a nice rotation of all kinds of different styles.
That sounds great. So it's themarblerockhouse.com, right?
Yes.
And you search for that on Facebook too, and you'll come to it. What else? Is there anything else? Have we forgotten anything?
I think that's it. Just trying to get open right now.
Yeah, you still have a lot to do, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be down to the wire.
It always always is. But so Friday night, if people want to come out, what time is things get underway?
We open at 5.
At 5. Yeah, so after work on Friday, you can come check out for the first time a new venue in town. And you can also, Saturday night is the, tell us again.
That's the tribute to Irish rock and pop. Friday and Saturday, we open at 5. On Sunday for St. Patrick's Day, we're opening at noon, with live music starting at 2 and going till 7.
And Mexican food, the restaurant will be up this weekend?
Yep, restaurant starts Friday. We're going to have on Saturday and Sunday some, we won't be doing your traditional corned beef and cabbage, but that's right next door at the diner and at the Inn at Leeds. But we'll have some like shepherd's pie tacos and maybe like a Reuben taco. We're going to.
And you can walk down the street for some yoga.
You get some yoga, check out some art, do a polar bear swim in the creek.
Oh, yeah, it's a little chilly, I guess.
We're going to be having a very craft brew selection. We're having a few Crossroads, Hudson Brewery, Chatham Brewery, Sloop.
All the local great ones. We love all those flavors.
Plus your Guinness needs, of course.
Oh, for the weekend, yes.
We're challenging the Inn at Leeds to see who can pour the best pint of Guinness.
Ah, so people have to go back and forth, and then where do they vote? At the post office?
No, they're old great friends. We go back a long way, and we're looking forward to working together and just helping make this a great destination.
All right. Terrence Lynch, thank you for stopping by, and hopefully we'll see more of you as the club stays open and has all kinds of interesting stuff going on there.
I'd love to give you some tickets to the... to the Big Takeover show if you want to give
them. Oh, right. That's great. Yes. So we'll talk about that after we'll listen to a couple Pitchfork Militia songs here
yes.
on the radio at WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
I'd never see my sweetheart again, yeah. Whoa, yeah.